Welcome back to the Killer Frogs Podcast. It's a brand new year, and we had a little bit of a hiatus, but welcome back, and this is episode 121, and this is going to be for, Monday or Tuesday of January, either. Well, Martin Luther King is on Monday, so we'll take a break on that. How about Tuesday, guys? Does that sound good?
Sure. Yep.
Okay, so okay. We'll say it's the 22nd of January. You can see we got our act together here, coming off of a big break. We got everything lined up, and first off, I guess first question I need to know is how was y'all's New Year?
You know, not bad. I didn't go to any parties because partying's for amateurs. But you know, I had a good New Year, good Christmas, everything was fine. How about you?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Ended up getting stuck on jury duty.
Yeah, so I didn't go out and rub elbows with the governor like Ryan did, but you know.
Wait, Ryan, you were rubbing elbows with Greg Abbott.
You know what? And I kid you not, Lieutenant Governor Hey Shannon, within like her dress, his wife's dress was on my boot, like they were that close to us because where they had to stand to see George Strait, it was incredible. George Strait played for over 2 hours.
Really? Wow.
I can't believe it. In Austin at I forget the name of the venue, but it was at the governor's Tuesday night. So Mike got on and the tickets were $125. They were sold out in the first 90 seconds. Somehow he managed to get two tickets and we went to the barbecue and then the ball that night. This is a really neat experience.
That's crazy. 90 seconds, huh?
Yeah.
Who did the barbecue?
What?
Who did the barbecue?
Oh, gosh. You know, I actually took a picture of the sponsor. I can't remember their name. They're out of Austin. But the way they won the bid was because it wasn't for how the barbecue tasted, which it was good. It's not as good as some of the stuff around us, but it's how quickly they could get the thousands of people.
Uh-oh.
Through the line.
There she is. Yeah,
am I going out again?
Just a little. It's not too bad.
Very well for a bit.
I'm like off on my computer.
Well, you know, hey, technical difficulties, right?
Channel Georges, what's up, buddy? You have a good New Year and Christmas?
Man, everything's been great, man.
Shannon, I saw that picture of you and your two girls, or your girls there in the Facebook. You got to be thankful those girls took your mama's looks and not yours.
Well, you know what? That was actually my brother. We look like twins.
Y'all do. Yes, you do.
You got a great looking family, my friend.
Hey, man. Thank you, brother. How you feeling, Wes?
Feeling pretty good. Yeah, I'm going down to MD Anderson in a couple of weeks to go down there and see if I can get in a clinical trial. They found another tumor, but I'm okay. I'm okay. So,
hey man, it's a fight.
It's a fight. That's right.
Yeah. How big was this one again?
About the size of a pea, but it's grown that size in 2 months. So, definitely want to get it taken care of.
Well, and the last one was the size of a lemon, right?
Lemon. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what, like I was saying. Yeah, you graduated from fruits to vegetables.
I can open up my own stand now.
Yeah. So. Well, we'll be praying for you, Wes.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, that's not always the best way to start a new year, but you have a great doctor and they catch it really early. So
well, yeah, it was not unexpected. This kind of cancer does have a tendency to come back on you. So doctor, I'm really fortunate. She's really on top of things. She catches it. And she's got me moved in the right direction as far as treatment goes. And we'll see what happens on the 28th. And maybe they've got something going on at MD Anderson I can fit into. If not, we have a plan B and a plan C option. So we got some choices.
Well, that's good to hear.
Thank you.
Hey Dubber, how was your New Year? And wait, before we start, do you have a t-shirt with your name on it?
This is a family reunion.
Oh, family reunion shirt. Gotcha.
My dad leaves and makes up t-shirts for everything. So
I love that. That's great.
2018, Nick's family reunion.
Well, I think
on the 4th of July.
I love it. That's great.
Do they put everybody's name on the back so you guys know everybody?
We don't get that far. Some of them, we don't really want their name on the back. Well, anyway, yeah, but it good New Year's, good everything. I went, me and my wife and a couple of friends, we trucked it on down to Windstar just to check it out. And I went ahead and went down there and donated a little money.
Good for you.
Turned around, came back.
Get your tax receipt,
paid some bills.
Exactly.
Deposits only, no withdrawals.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I that's probably about the second time I've went down there, but. Anyway, we had fun. I'm a people watcher, so when you go a place like that, there's a lot of people to watch.
I remember right after Claire and I got married, she kept seeing the ads on television about Windstar Indian Casino. In Australia, she thought all the Indians would be wearing loincloth and headdresses, you know.
Yeah.
And so we went up there. I want to go. We went up there. We're in the only non-smoking room they had at the time, with a bingo room. And we're sitting there, and these guys sitting across from us with tattoos on their neck and scars all. She said, "Where are the Indians?" I said, "They're sitting across from me, honey." Well, those aren't Indians. Yeah, those are Indians. You know, they look like convicts. They may well be, but those are Indians. it was funny. So.
Well, story about Windstar. We have a Christmas breakfast every year, and all my cousins, everybody was in town. And a buddy of mine, he goes all the time. He won like 10 grand, but much as he goes, he's probably got his money back. But so I suggest everybody, let's go down there and gamble since everybody's in town. So my suggestion, right? Well, I act my age, I guess, and I come home and I relax instead of getting dressed. And I was like, I'm out. I don't want to go. They all go. And the same cousin I suggested it to send me a picture. Her husband won 4 grand off a 25-cent slot. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh,
I told my wife, we're going. we're going to make it down there. It's only 45 minutes from the house. At some point, we're going to go.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. Well, so we had a pretty good New Year, obviously, with TCU football ending on a high note there. On the we talked about that in the previous podcast. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to our breakdown of the spectacular Cheez-It Bowl of 2018, you can go ahead and go back and take a listen to that. That was episode 120. But since then, we haven't had a chance to chime in on the national championship game of Alabama and Clemson. And I'm assuming everybody here watched the game, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And what did you all think about that game?
Woohoo!
Well, it was a good game. But do you think we've seen the end of one dynasty and the beginning of another?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, sir. I went with Clemson. This is 2 years ago when I remember Billy. I worked that game and I went with Clemson then. And I was just kind of the fans and the people were just so they were just good people because I was working hotels and working the games. And I was like, man, Clemson's going. The atmosphere was awesome. I'm like, man, Clemson's going to take these guys, and that's what happened. Well, this year, I kind of did the same because the recruits and Clemson's kind of been flying under the radar that year.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Wes, that's what I thought. I said, I tell you what, if things don't change, you will see Alabama and Clemson every year. And Clemson, I think they have their number because here's the deal. Even if you pick Clemson, you didn't think they were going to dominate that game like they did. Alabama's not used to running trick plays and all that crap. Guys, they don't have to. They don't even know how to do it because as you clearly see, their fake plays were terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it just they're not used to that type of
stuff. Unlike TCU's fake plays.
So I was like, man, Clemson is the team to beat now. I mean, I think they've dethroned Alabama, but Alabama's going to be as usual. But I'm telling you, Clemson's going to be a force from here on out.
Yeah, I tell you what, that quarterback, even my brother-in-law, I talked to him tonight from Australia. And he had said he watched the game. He said, that kid for the quarterback, I said, Trevor, he said, yeah, my God, that guy's awesome. You know, I said, yeah, and he's 18 years old. I mean, you know, his future's all ahead of him. I mean, it's amazing what that they've got in that kid.
Does that possibly portend maybe TCU dipping their toe into using a true freshman next year?
Well, I mean, other teams have done it and been successful.
Yeah.
But, You know, I thought Clemson could win and probably would, but I didn't think they'd absolutely dominate Alabama like that. And that was fun. I enjoyed watching. Not that I have anything against Alabama, but I'm kind of tired of them winning everything all the time. And I'm happy to see Clemson win it.
Yeah.
I tell you what, that's what was amazed me. I thought they'd win it too. I really did. But the second half, I thought that Alabama would jump up and make it, you know, make it a game.
Yeah.
And Clemson shut him on them four downs, you know, and going for it. You know, they're just not used to that. After that, I mean, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I'm ready to ride Alabama off or anything, but I just think there's two big boys on the block now.
Yes, sir.
You could mention one without mentioning the other now for sure. So next year, if Alabama's number one and they got Clemson anywhere but number two, really, I'd have Clemson number one with the quarterback and everything and stuff they got and anybody else. But if they don't have them up there and they have Alabama above them, it's just rose-colored glasses, brother. They just – you're never gonna get some of the people to admit that, you know, that Clemson is a better football team.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Dabo
players
coach. I like Dabo. Not sure where that name came from, but I don't care. I think he's a good coach.
Good coach. He's a player in that program.
Did you guys hear his post-game interview?
Yep.
On the field?
Yeah.
Every time I hear that guy speak, just everything that he does is just the right way.
Yeah.
You know, kind of reminds me a little bit, you know, Patterson doesn't quite speak in those particular terms, but he has the same kind of mindset, obviously. But I mean, at the same time, it's good to hear a coach talk like that on a national stage and give it up like that. And then also talk about how hard, you know, his team and his staff works like that. And it was good. It was good to hear. And I think that was, it just shows what type of program Clemson is under Dabo Swinney. So, yeah.
Yep. Well, you know, that's what I loved about him is, you know, when they were waiting to see where they would go in the, you know, which slot the Final Four, you know, they were having that pizza day, you know, with family and friends. I don't know if y'all saw that, but he was like, hey, we'd have done this whether we were on TV or not. We'd have done this whether we were a Final Four or not. We do this to honor our season, period. Mm-hmm. With family, with friends, and with the kids' family, and blah, blah, blah. This is something we do every year, whether we're in the Final Four or not. I just think he's got it happening. He's got it going the right way.
Absolutely. For sure.
We can take some pride in the fact that we beat them, what, 5 or 6 years ago?
It was more like a decade ago, but yeah.
Well, okay, a decade ago.
Yeah. But yeah,
it was a while since we played or had an opportunity to beat Alabama. Well, so
I think are we like the last non P5 team to have beaten Clemson?
Probably so.
Yeah.
So yeah. This is another good thing that you can hang your hat on for TCU football. There you go.
And he was the coach too. So
I remember that game. That was a fun game.
Scotty always talked about that was one of the fun places he went. The people were great. Everything he just said, everything about him and everything.
Whoa, somebody's phone just went off. Yeah, Clemson's one of those kind of teams that, you know, when it's like kind of like West Virginia, you know, when West Virginia comes to town, it's just good hearted fan base, you know, and Clemson's kind of the same way.
It's
good. You couldn't happen to a better fan base. Couldn't happen to a better coach. Couldn't happen to a better team. And I'm very, very happy for them. And man, it was just fun to watch Alabama getting just curb stomped. It was great.
We're sorry if he listens.
So
not really, that's your dad's a big Alabama fan, isn't it?
Wait, what? My dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am too. Look what I got right here.
Oh, God.
It looks to be some sort of a pachyderm.
So there's always knew there's something off a little bit. Now you just saw what it was.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That explains so much, Ryan.
And then right next to him, I have this little guy.
How
do I do it this way?
Other way, yeah.
There you go.
There we go.
Is that a horned frog with longhorns?
Heck yeah, because we dominate Texas, not the Longhorns. Isn't that cute?
it's a little guy. For those of you watching at home on your podcast, it's a little purple horn frog statue with giant longhorns sticking out of the side of its head.
The frogman at the rodeo, he makes them. I buy one every year.
Oh, does he have those? Is that?
Yeah. I have like 20 of them.
I got a pair of cufflinks I bought from him with a horn frog.
Oh, I have a, I do too. And I have a cowboy hat thing, the you know, the joy, the whatever band, the band that goes around the corner.
I do too.
Hell, the rodeo is going on right now. So everybody should go down there and go visit the frog man and the frog lady, because she makes those pictures that she hand sketches all the frogs on, like winning the, going to the World Series, getting married, graduating, all. They're very, very cool.
Yeah, I bought the print of the horn frog in front of the Alamo right after we won.
I did too. And then they have the Rose Bowl one. It's very cool. Everybody get down there.
All right.
Well, let's move on from football, and it is it's kind of a sad departing, because now we've kind of gone away from football. We won't get football for another 9 months, or 8 months, I guess, at this point where we are in the podcast. So hopefully we'll pick back up a little bit, talking about, there's a little bit of transfer news we'll talk about, but we're fully in the basketball season, and up until a couple of weeks ago, We were looking pretty good, and then we hit the Big 12 schedule, and what in the world happened?
Well, one thing that happened is we started off with the best team in the conference. Of course, we beat Baylor, and then, of course, then we go to our next two games is at Kansas, at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Now, the good thing is we were in both games all the way to the end, really and truly.
Turnover issues in Kansas really kind of killed us.
20 turnovers is insane.
Yeah, just a few.
I was actually at that game, and leaving, the Kansas fans were they were a little bit in shock. I mean, several of them were saying, "Boy, they gave us a run for our money," or "Boy, they had me a little nervous there," or "That was closer than." Than we wanted, you know, so that, you know, that we should have won that game. I mean, obviously, but
Oklahoma, we had won too. I mean, yeah, if you watch that game, oh my gosh, I mean, we just, that hurt me worse than Kansas, in a sense that I just felt like we just, at the end of the game, we handed Oklahoma the game back to them.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's the games they're going to have to learn to win on the road. I think we get them at home. I think we got good chances. I think we play a lot better at home, but you know, it did help start off the Big 12 with, you know, two road games against two of the better teams in the conference.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of transfers coming out of the program. Most recently, Jalen Fisher, you know, following his knee injury. And I guess his discussion with Coach Dixon about his future there. But correct me if I get this wrong. I'm probably going to butcher this kid's name, but. Uat Alaka.
Yeah, the big junior, the transfer. I mean, the JUCO.
Now, he had an injured hand or a broken hand?
Yeah, he broke his hand.
Okay.
But he was going to play sparingly behind Samuels, because Samuels
Sounds like Samuels starting to come into his own a little bit.
Listen, there's some, I don't know, there's some seems a little fishy about Fisher, though, because in one breath, I get the knee, I get the injury. What I don't get is the transfer. He's going to finish school, transfer, and have eligibility somewhere else. And my thing is, if the knee's hurt, just continue to rehab it, finish out here. But he's no longer, the way that was worded, I'm thinking, there's something else there. So
yeah, I don't know this, Shannon, but I think they might have offered him a – I think they might have told him, hey, I think the doctors might have said, he ain't coming back. You know, why don't we put you on medical scholarship and let you finish at your school here and blah, blah, blah. And I just don't think he, you know, his deal was, I'm reading a whole lot into what I read, but I thought I want to play basketball. I want to try to go somewhere. And so what I read and what I've heard is, is that they weren't unhappy with each other at all. It just kind of was at that crossroads.
Yeah.
Where one was like, hey, you know, for 3 years now, you know, scholarship's been there, but you just can't get healthy. And he's had, I forgot how many knee surgeries, you know.
Yeah.
Well, he's got to protect that knee. If it's not,
yeah,
you know, in 30 years, he'll be having a knee replacement.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
So, yeah, and trying to force his knee through a season that he's never made it through a season, and he's been hurt every year. You know, trying to force
And Dixon's recruiting is heating up, so, you know,
right.
Playing time on a guy who is hurt as much as, like you said, Wes, I mean, he's hurt every year. So you got to understand, I bet Dixon, it was just like, look, I mean, you know, we'll do what's right by you, but at the same time, you know, chances of you getting playing time from here on out are going to be pretty slim based on what medical professionals are telling us. So,
yeah.
And I'm sure Dixon's also doing it to protect Fisher. And I'm sure Fisher's just thinking this, like what Dubber said, hey, I want to play. That's what, yeah. And that's what ballers want, man. They want to play. And I get that. And I respect that. If he has a chance at another university that, you know, doesn't have the same kind of guys coming in here, trying to compete with playing time, and he's able to do it, and more power to him. But man, I'm like with you, Wes, you got to protect that knee, because otherwise you're going to be walking around like Terry Bradshaw here in the next 10 years.
Of course, you're 22 years old, 21 years old, however old he is. And he's not thinking about that. He's,
no,
not at all.
Get this knee right and go play.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I'm
can't.
You know, and that makes sense, but this is where the young man or somebody's got to get in his ear. And I would think a coach would, with experience, and just sit him down and be like, listen, you know, if we thought you could play at this level with what's been going on with your knee, that's what we would do, because you're our player, right?
Sure.
And I'm thinking, that, you know, being young before, thinking the way I was thinking, because as a football player, I knew I had the tools to go to the next level. I just, in my head, that's what I wanted to do. Well, my thought is, no other school, and I could be totally wrong, but with that knee being where it is, he's going to probably have to downgrade school. And my thought is, with that, from an education standpoint, I mean, your degree from TCU will outweigh any degree from some school you may have to go step down,
mm-hmm.
and way more important if you can finish out here, because they would allow him to do that. And but I just think, again, he's young, he wants to play, but I'm like, listen, I would be like, young man, that prestigious degree with TCU on it versus something, you know, and I'm not down any other school, because school is school, but it just, to me, the connections, the degree, it says a lot. And I know it's hard for a young man to swallow, but hey, if you want to play basketball, man, you know, play pickup. But my thing is, he needs to really sit and weigh his options, because, again, if he can't play at TCU because of the knee, what are the chances of him transferring to a bigger school or a school of equal value and play on the level? He'll probably So I don't know. I thought about all that when I was reading, as I read into it and talked to a couple people. That's just something I would think about if I was him. If I was a coach, I would definitely get in his head about it as well.
Well, and you also got to imagine the NBA is probably not, you know, going to be knocking on his door in the draft.
Sure. The stress and strain on your knee is going to be the same wherever he goes.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just – and, like, I'm with you, Shannon. A guy 22 years old probably isn't thinking that far in the future or, you know.
Well, hopefully since he has the rest of the semester to allow – you think they'd allow him to reverse his decision?
So that's what I was about to say. They've said that, hey, we'll honor his education no matter what.
Sure.
They said if – so what I think is going to happen is – he's going to put his name in the transfer portal, and he's going to start talking to these people. And, you know, and then they're going to let him see if he can get somewhere else. And if he does it, you know, they said something about, hey, we'll honor his scholarship. If he decides not to do it, we'll put him on medical, and, you know, he can get his education from TCU.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Don't you guys just love the name? Don't you love the name of this thing, the transfer portal?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. But let me tell you something. Them two little words has turned college sports upside down.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
I keep thinking of something like you'd see in them what was it, the time zone or time machine?
Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone. Like a black hole, you jump in it and you go to a different alternate universe or whatever.
It's kind of like William Shatner had one of those famous episodes right in the Twilight Zone where he was on a plane, right? There's something on the wing of the plane, right? So every single time I hear transfer protocol, it's like, there's a player in the transfer portal or whatever it is. It's like, okay, yeah, you know, it's kind of how it comes out to be. It's like, okay, you enter the transfer portal, or nobody can really be told what the transfer portal is. You have to see it for yourself. It's like the stupid puns and jokes write themselves, but I couldn't they have figured out a better name for it than transfer portal? It just seems weird.
I tell you what's crazy about it is, so we've had, this is four now in basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, that's slightly concerning, but
crazy thing, the point guard for Midlothian, he decides he wants to transfer because he's upset about playing time. You got Alex Robinson in front of you that's leaving. Now you got Jalen because he can't get healthy. And if you just stay around, you're probably going to get more playing time. But even if you don't stay, if you bide your time, by next year, the door opens wide open again. This transfer rule, it's letting kids just that are soft, that are used to playing. I hate to say it like that, but that's the way I look at it. They're soft. All of a sudden, they're, we all go to college. And I know I played college ball. When I went there, I just thought I was going to be better than the next guy.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to play. I mean, period. I mean, you think that. And all of a sudden and everybody eats a little humble pie for the most part. And then it's kind of like you take a step back, eat that humble pie, and then you got a choice. You can sit there and wallow in it or forward again and fight your way to the top, or whatever.
Yeah.
And this little portal deal, those kids, it's just free reign, just get up, they're a little upset, they're going to leave. And it's going to make it interesting. It will keep college sports talking about college sports, football, basketball, year round, but it sure is going to turn it upside down the way they can do it now.
Well, it almost turns into free agency for college.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, somebody made a point the other day, Plexico, on one of the talk shows. He said the NFL or college is slowly turning – well, no, NFL is slowly turning into a college game. And so, for me, I can't imagine. I can understand transferring because of certain issues. I get it, because some people, they just were not going to get a shot, no matter how hard they fall, and they went somewhere where they could at least play. I get that. To me, it's making these players, as you said, WC, weak. That you don't want to stay in fight. You're running from the issue. I mean, it's just, to me, what is that? What kind of values is that putting you as a person? I can't see. I'm old school, I guess, when it comes to this. I can't see and I had some up and down times at TCU, trust me. I just can't see myself leaving the guys that I was in war with. Those guys. I can't see going to locker room. There's some guys that's already been to three different schools. I mean, think about that. What does that say about you?
Yeah.
When the times get rough, you, as a matter of fact, you come to my locker room after two schools, I don't know if you got my back. I'm sorry. We can't go to war together.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it's a good thing, but man, I think it's more negative at this point than anything, because when you commit and sign on the dotted line, it's not a true commitment anymore.
We talked about this at the beginning of the season. It was one of the concerns we had, right? It was just like, with this generation, is this the right thing for college football at this moment? Because there's too many kids in this generation that look at it as, this is my ticket to the next level. So if I'm not getting the playing time here, this is my out, and I can go get playing time somewhere else, because they're delusional in certain facts. And they don't think that they have to stick around and do hard work and earn, earn what they need to earn to be able to get on the field and then continue to work hard, when it's so easy just to go, well, I am feeling as though I'm not getting the right shot because of X, Y, and Z. So therefore I'm going to go somewhere else where I get that shot.
Yep.
And
I'll tell you, and Shannon probably understands this. Let me tell you something. In high school, the coaches talk to you a certain way, and I don't care if a coach was hard on you in high school. There ain't nothing like when you go to college. Level. I mean, I heard things that first year that, oh, my goodness. I mean, you can talk like that? I mean, I had a couple of coaches that I just hope they put a couple of regular words in instead of all just totally all. You know what?
They talk.
You had to get used to it. You had to get used to that, and you had to get used to that kind of stuff. Yeah,
develop a callus.
Because you had to build up a callus, and I think that's the biggest problem. Because I've always, you know what, I've always told kids that no matter what sport, you got to try it for a year. If you go to college, you got to try it for a year because you got to get through that first semester of your sport, knowing what's going on. Then you got to go through the spring and the fall. You got to go through a year before you can understand college sports. And then after you make it a year, you can make a pretty good assessment. Hey, this is for me or it's not for me. But kids that just up and go right after, you know, after 6 months or 3 months or 2 months, they'll never get that. They don't understand that, hey, Coach Dixon, it might be a deal where if he's on you harder, that might mean he loves you more.
Absolutely.
He's on you harder. That might mean that he thinks you can be his best player on the team. But if you don't stay around, if you don't stay around to understand that, you're always going to have that problem.
Well, when you said that, I think of Shannon's comment about how you want Gary Patterson in your face because if he is, then he sees something in you that you're not seeing yet.
Right.
And he's trying to draw it out of you.
Right. That's exactly right, Wes. I tell my kids all the time, if a coach is not on you and a coach is done talking to you and he don't really say much to you besides hello and all that, you're done.
You want
coach in you. I didn't grow my ass back until my junior. I tore off, you know. And so, but 3-year starter and all that good stuff. But it didn't really start coming off until I was, you know, I proved myself I could play. And then even when you got there, the pressure was still on you because you're a captain now, and you should be doing certain things, and you should know better. So now there's a whole nother ass to it.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things you learn to understand that it's coming from a lovable spot. It's coming from a spot that's going to help you grow. And trust me, it's as an adult now, as in the business world, I can take the things that happens in corporate America a lot better because I had a lot worse playing sports, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, teach his own.
Well, let's also talk. We got one other transfer to talk about, and that's a transfer from a purple school to TCU, and that would be Kansas State quarterback Alex Delton. And this is an interesting move within the Big 12. It looks like as of 2 days ago, he was cleared to play immediately for the Horned Frogs as soon as he transfers in.
Because he's
Can I ask a question of the panel?
Yeah.
Here, because who was it that went in and saw ADJD?
Yeah.
Me? Why? It was us three, me, you, and Sean.
Yeah,
right?
Three of us.
Ask him the question, are you going to be able to transfer between Big 12 to Big 12? Yep. And he goes, no, they'll have to do something like that with that because then you got in conference recruiting.
Well, I think because he's a fifth year.
I know he's a fifth year. I understand he's a fifth year, but he's still, I don't know. I'm just, you know. I'm just saying.
I don't think he would have been able to. There is a rule, a caveat. Like if he hadn't already graduated, he wouldn't be able to. But he's graduated. But he still has 1 year of eligibility, right?
No, he's finishing his. Well, no, he's finishing his final year of eligibility at TCU.
Yeah.
So I guess he is technically a grad transfer at this point.
Yes.
As opposed to going into the portal.
He's one of them.
but he did well. Okay, so it all started off with him putting his name in the portal, though, all the way back at the beginning of December.
Yeah,
and that's what started this whole thing. And I think that was what they were kind of going back and forth trying to determine whether or not he would even need to go that route versus graduate transfer.
Hey, but you got another quarter. We got another quarterback Downing, a backup from
Georgia.
Yep.
We got two quarterbacks that came in. Hey, because you know what? If I'm a quarterback that wanted some playing time, if I'm looking at to go to a good program, TCU's wide open right now.
Well, and that's because of another transfer. TCU's
wide open because the guy that's got the most experience he's not going to practice. He's hurt. Then the next biggest guy they had, he's still working on his drop foot. Then you got a true freshman who might be all world, but he's a true freshman. So until he gets in here and they can see what he can do, sheesh. I mean, it's, I mean, whoever comes in is going to get all that rep with Dugan, the freshman almost. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, you're almost fighting for playing time against a true freshman because the other guys still just aren't ready. You know, they're not around there.
So, I was going to say, with OU, with Hurts transferring to OU, he has to sit out a year, right?
No, he does not. He's graduating. He doesn't? No, he's graduating too. He's a graduate.
So he'll play next year.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a business decision on his part.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Speaking of drop foot, did anybody see that video of Justin Rogers jumping over that container, that equipment storage container? Have y'all seen that?
No.
Well, it stands about 5 feet off the ground, and he gets about a two-step run up on it, hops over the darn thing. Now, Dubber and I could both do that, you know. I mean, but you know, I'm thinking as he's going over that, landing on his foot, I think, oh, God, this is not going to turn out well. But he handled it pretty well. It showed that he's, A, extremely athletic, and, B, he could take a blow on that foot because that's not easy coming down from 5 feet. You know, and
was he, just,
on your
was
feet
he messing like around that. Or was it in practice? Was it like a
it was in the training room? It was in the training room. Well, you know how they, I guess in cross training a lot, they have you stand flat footed, then jump up and then go back down. And that's one of those situations where you jump up on that thing.
Nice.
And I know there's a term they use for that kind of exercise.
Plyo.
Okay, plyo?
Plyo. Those are plyos.
Oh, plyo.
He flew over it, let me tell you. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
Wow.
See, for being the big problem is now is it was earlier. So I that's my two cents, but I don't know.
That would be good news.
Because really and truly, he comes in not being a five-star or four-star because of his feet. I mean, don't get me wrong. He really comes in because of his arm.
Yeah,
next spring is going to be very interesting to see which one of these quarterbacks comes in and takes this job, especially with Robinson transferring out. So,
well, it's good to have options, and we certainly got them. I mean, I guess.
Hey, well, you know, hey, everybody's getting hurt. You know, you got to go right up 35 or down 35. Look at Texas. They've lost Bouchel. They lost another one. There's a third one that's thinking about. They might have they might have all their quarterbacks behind.
And you still be in the top five in the
second, third team quarterbacks. They're not getting top. They're transferred out.
But they're back. Talking about Texas is back. They're back.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, you know what they say, the transfer portal gives and the transfer portal takes away.
It's a portal, a critical way, you know.
Yeah,
and you know what? People go, well, calm down. Well, let me just tell you, every year a coach thinks he's a player two away. That portal, they're going to take their chances. They're going to think, hey, we got to try to grab this kid. I mean, you get a kid that's got some talent, he's going to, you know. And you know what? I'm old school too. Well, one thing that always drove me crazy, we're spoiled at TCU in the sense that we got a coach that's been here for freaking 18 years.
Yeah.
You know, most pros be a coach for 3 to 5 years, and he's gone if they're lucky. And so, in saying that, a kid that gets stuck with a deal, and all of a sudden, like you said, Shannon, they come in, they got a new program, they got to do that. They're not part of that system, really. Mm-hmm. I understand why a kid who committed to that, my forte is not a drop back style quarterback. Maybe it's maybe it's the new style or whatever. Blah. Maybe I run better. I can understand. You know, coaches don't ever play out their contract, and schools don't a lot of time don't make them. They'll fire them before the contract's up. Pay them the money.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, either way, this whole transfer portal thing is going to be very interesting moving forward. Yeah. And I agree with you guys. It's changing the whole landscape, not just football, but also basketball. And
hey, what do y'all think about Cliffy? Kingsbury.
Oh my gosh. Talk about failing upwards.
I know, right?
What was he, 45 and 50 as a college head coach? And now he
did it.
Gets fired.
Failing
and
upwards. I love
he's
that.
Now an NFL head coach. That's just amazing.
Yeah, but it's Arizona. Yeah. So, I mean.
Hey, you'll see him back at, you'll see him at the high school level next.
In Red River, New Mexico.
you see that.
They're going to run him out of pros.
Well, I think it's interesting, but I think the isn't the average female age in Arizona somewhere closer to 40?
He's dating a girl that's like, isn't he dating?
Oh,
like
is he dating someone? I missed it. I just know. I'm just thinking, boy, his prospects have now dropped dramatically by going to Arizona. But
Mike was showing me some girl on Fox.
Yeah. He's dating her.
She's not young. She's 40s, I think, or whatever.
Oh, I see that right now.
I mean, yeah.
40s now?
Are we saying 40s real old?
No, I wasn't saying that at all. I'm just saying that that's a little bit older demographic than what Kingsbury is normally known for.
I'm going to walk out on y'all here in a minute.
40s are 65. I don't know what you're saying.
I feel.
Well, that conversation got derailed quickly. Anyway, before we leave, I do want to. We want to congratulate three amazing Horned Frogs for being invited to the NFL Scouting Combine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
LJ Collier, Ben Banigou, and Ty Summers. I'm so happy for Ty Summers. I mean, obviously, Banigou, Collier, you guys well deserve, but with the year that Summers has had, I mean, that's an amazing accomplishment for the young man. So congratulations, all three Horned Frogs, and we hope to see you guys playing Sunday soon.
I'm sure we will.
That's a perfect example of character and leadership maybe pushing him over the finish line and getting picked, selected to go there, because he's such just a wow, you know?
Yeah.
He's kind of guy you want on your team.
He's a true beast built. He's going to be, I think he'll be a good linebacker, man. He's built. He has all the tools. He has his body structure, man. I think Summer's going to have all of them. I mean, all of them. I knew those two would be there.
Proud of him.
When I saw him at the Big 12 media, I looked at him. Yeah, that guy, he's built like a beast. He's built like a linebacker. And, you know, barring injury, I think he's going to be a good linebacker in the league.
Amen. And then you know where I want to see him later? I want him to come back and coach, be one of the future head coaches of TCU. Can't you see him being a TCU head coach one day? I can.
Linebacker coach.
Yep. He'd be good.
There's that go off and coach. I think we'll see that. I think when Gary decides to hang it up, he's going to always have a voice. Trust that. But I think a guy that has some good experience, is younger, that can stay there another, you know, that's my hope. Who can stay in that spot for another 15, 20 years, whatever, you know, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
But hopefully that's a scenario that somebody we know that's a Frog and come back and we're going to speak that into existence. Somebody we've seen play and know and come back and keep the Frogs rolling.
Amen.
Yeah.
But hopefully, you know, that won't be for some time in the future because, you know, in Gary Patterson, we trust.
We're not ready yet.
Whatever, yeah. Coach, do not enter the transfer portal.
Portal.
Yeah, you're old.
Stay away. Stay away from the portal. Don't go towards the light.
Is he?
No, I think he's
45. Right? So he's.
It's true.
Yeah,
he's good.
He's young. Spring chicken. All right. Well, with that, want to thank everybody for listening to us this week. We will be back to our regular schedule now and. Looking forward to talking a little bit more TCU basketball and, of course, coming up TCU baseball. And it's going to be a wild ride this season, Frog fans. So thank you very much for joining us. You can find us on all the social media networks, the Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. Of course, you can go on to killerfrogs.com and sign up for a free account and discuss TCU athletics with the rest of us knuckleheads. And, of course, remember Frogs Wire for all of your TCU news. And with that, it is 2019. It's time to get our frogs up and say,
Go
Frogs. Woo. Now I get to spend another week in jury duty.
Oh my gosh. How many weeks? Two?
This is starting week number 3.
Holy smokes. Oh. So when it's all over, you'll be able to talk about it, tell us everything?
Yes. Yeah. I can tell you, I was just
the end of January.
Is what now?
I got summoned the end of January.
Oh.
You see my beard? You see this long white? Yeah. I'll go in there and they'll think, one half of them will say, oh, hell no, we ain't letting that be one by one. Deep South, big old white boy be on my jersey. Oh no, and I'll be out.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I am 7-for-7 in jury duties.
That's
now.
Crazy.
I am 0-for-5.
Well, good for you.
I've never been to jury duty.
I'm trying to be good. It wasn't a real long one. I didn't think it's gonna be, so I thought, you know what? I'm gonna try to get on the jury. Answered all right, not me, but they took one look at me and they, I'm out the door.